systems approaches to issues affecting individuals and communities in the industrialized world. I'm Paul Nelson. Today, we welcome one of our very favorite guests back to the program to talk about an approach that could have major ramifications for you, your kids, and certainly the culture. Today, we talk about parent coaches as catalysts for social evolution. Our guest is Gloria DiGaetano, a well-respected author, lecturer, and media literacy activist. Gloria is just about to launch the Parent Coaching Institute to train people to work with parents as a resource. Why coaching? Gloria says she has adopted a model developed in the business world.
The decade of the 90s had been a decade for the business world to move from the workshop paradigm into a more coaching model. Over a period, I'd say, of the last 5 years especially, many corporations and many high-level Fortune 500 corporations, for instance, hire professional coaches.
Gloria says the cultural evolution starts right under our nose.
The point of evolution is in the family. The point of change is not out there, Paul. You know, it's not out there somewhere. It is with the future of that baby in that nursery. It is with the children playing those video games. That's where critical change is going to take place. We change the culture by changing our family and our families and our parenting.
Parent coaches as catalysts for social evolution. That's our subject today as we hear about the establishment of the Parent Coaching Institute. I recently inquired about becoming a teacher of vocational education for local high school students. I've been in radio for over 20 years, have worked in many capacities in the business, and I've also taught hundreds of workshops in high schools, colleges, libraries, and community centers across the region. I called the school district and they sent me a packet of information regarding the retraining I would need to qualify for being a teacher. CPR classes, curriculum development classes, and many other requirements. It takes a lot to be a teacher in the society, even teaching a subject with which you are very familiar. My brother is a policeman in a small town. He's held many police jobs, but a few years ago he finally graduated from the police academy, completed a motorcycle training program, and supplemented his marksman background honed through years of practice. To become an educator or protector in the society requires a great deal of preparation. A parent is a teacher and protector to the 10th power. But what does it take to become a parent? A healthy libido and a willing partner, not much more. Because of the low standards, many people become parents way before they are prepared, and the on-the-job training can be very difficult, especially in this day and age, when it often takes two parents to make ends meet, when kids are bombarded with violent media images and messages encouraging poor dietary habits and consumption of legal drugs, and when the distractions of every kind have really reached record proportions. Gloria DiGaetano knows about the distractions. She knows about the difficulty parents have in this day and age. A parent and former teacher, school district administrator, university instructor, curriculum specialist, and media literacy consultant, she would be the perfect mentor for any parent trying to do the best job in this difficult day and age. Unfortunately, there is only one Gloria DiGaetano. And since cloning technology is still a few decades away, she's doing what she can to help provide resources for parents. That's part of the reason she's founded the Parent Coaching Institute, training parent coaches as catalysts for social evolution. Coaches have long been in vogue in the business world, but there are no programs quite like the Parent Coaching Institute. We welcome Gloria DiGaetano back to the program. Hello, Gloria.
Hello, Paul.
It's been such a long time
since
we had you.
Yes, it has. It's good to be back.
It's nice to have you back. All right, so tell us, what was the epiphany that resulted in your decision to create the Parent Coaching Institute?
Well, it wasn't just one epiphany. It was a series, probably, Paul, over the last 2 years, just going out and doing my talks, my parent talks, my workshops with parents, and the frustrations they have, the lack of relevant information they have about their children's needs, for one, and saying, what can be put together to deliver something more effective to parents? because the ones that are coming out are really very intentional parents. They really have a lot going for them. They have a lot of information. There are so many parents out there that don't have information in our society, and that was the impetus for me.
Now, that would seem on one hand. Now, on one hand, of course, I know you know, a very logical, astute, sharp businesswoman, but on the other hand, we live in the information age where there's all kinds of information. Put on the TV, I'm surprised there's not a parent channel. You go on the web, I'm sure there are thousands of websites that have information, but you say there's a lack of...
There's a lack of relevant information for parents. And in order to get information, one has to know the questions to ask. And much of what has happened here with our parenting in our culture, and you know my work around media, is that parents are almost at in a tyranny state. They're held at bay, in a sense. For instance, the advertising industry makes the peer group pressure with children so great that parents have to continually react by saying no, no, no. And we become, because I'm a parent also, we become like police officers, always trying to toe the line with our kids instead of enjoying our kids. I think a part of it is the lack of relevant information, but the other part for me, Paul, is that so many parents have lost the joy of parenting. They have lost the ease of parenting. And when I read that 40% to 50% increase in Prozac use among toddlers and preschoolers in the last few years, I say, what is happening here? We have children so out of control and parents so at wit's end, they don't know what to do, that they're drugging children so much earlier than ever before.
Well, that's a crime. I wouldn't recommend Prozac for people who have the kidneys to be able to take in that kind of powerful drug, and yet we're giving it to four-year-olds. That's crazy.
That's right.
That's absolutely crazy. Well, that's a symptom of our society and why it is so difficult to be a parent, just to be a person in this society. I can get into the devil's advocate, but we'll save that. First, I want to know more about the idea, and that is when you develop this model for the Parent Coaching Institute, and hopefully we'll get a real good sense of what you hope to accomplish with that in the chat that we'll have. Tell us about the research that you've done into the field of business coaching and how that model makes sense for application in the parent field.
Well, the decade of the 90s had been a decade for the business world to move from the workshop paradigm into a more coaching model. Over a period, I'd say, of the last 5 years especially, many corporations and many high-level Fortune 500 corporations, for instance, hire professional coaches, business people who were consultants, a lot of them had been, people very astute in the business world or who know great communication skills, team leadership skills, management skills that are missing. And rather than deliver that information and that encouraging support, it is given through coaching paradigm, which means it's ongoing, it's very personal, and it's usually delivered over the telephone. Now, there are people who go in and coach groups to corporations. But I looked at that and I said, well, that's very interesting, because we have in education research over 30 years that one-on-one works, mentoring works. When nurses go in, for instance, to families that have new babies, and the new parents are given a home visit by the nurse over a period of a year, those children flourish. The parents have parenting skills that other parents don't have, and there's long-term, longitudinal, effective results here. So what we're doing with the Parent Coaching Institute, we are instituting, together with the University of Washington and several other places around the United States, pilot programs to show that this one-on-one coaching does work. We are effective in helping parents change behaviors that they want to change. Now, that's the other important thing. The parents are setting their goals. What do they want out of their parenting? What do they want out of their life? That's different now, and that's a very important first premise in the coaching world. The person being coached must be willing and have goals.
Talking with Gloria DiGaetano. She's the founder and CEO of the Parent Coaching Institute. And we're talking about a systems approach to training parent mentors. I'm Paul Nelson. Well, how would you describe the prototypical parent coach?
the prototypical pair coach that we are working with, that we train.
That you intend to develop.
All right. That person has a great background already in parenting, and there are all kinds, probably you know this as a parent yourself, all kinds of different models for parenting, parenting with love and logic, natural consequences. A lot of people have devoted a lot of time to looking at what works in parenting, and a lot of it has to do with discipline techniques and motivational techniques. What we're doing is not dealing with that, because we're assuming that our people coming in already have that. All right, most of the people right now who are enrolled have at least a master's degree. Several have doctorates. So what we're saying is we are looking at the system, not only the family as a system, as Virginia Satir and a lot of other people have, but the culture as a system. And that there are systemic problems that aren't being addressed by families because it's almost like it's an unconscious, we are unconsciously driven by these cultural effects. Well, what a great parent coach from the Parent Coaching Institute will do, will bring out, will tease out and shine the light on these cultural systems. For instance, like I mentioned, the advertising or the media, which I have dealt a lot with, and realize that sometimes it's just a slight shift in consciousness or perception of what is happening in the family. Why is this child whiny? Because they've been watching television for 5 hours that day. And our coaches can look at the whole rather than isolated in terms of traditional parenting skills. Those are still needed, but we're taking this one step further to meet the needs of this 21st century.
For example, you know, you loaded your kid up on sugar. You know, instead of
wondering
why they're screaming bloody murder.
That's right. We're under stress. The more stress we have as parents now, this is so important to know, because as a single mother, I realize this, you know, the more stress in the family, then the more the children are out of control. So a lot of the training has to do with how to reduce stress, bring more order out of the chaos, and help parents prioritize what's important here.
I'm hearing what you're saying. It's a person, a parent, a coach, is a person who has the ability to look at the big picture, to look at it in a holistic way, and that's what you're saying. You're saying the curriculum that you've developed is based on a systems approach.
Exactly.
And that's, of course, what this show talks about week after week after week. But what I would like you to do is to define that. What do you mean by a systems approach and how it's applied, maybe more concrete examples of how it's applied to teaching two-parent coaches, to actually teaching parent coaches?
Well, I teased out the Vital Five, which I think are, I look at five cultural systems that are impacting families today. And so through the course of the study, the study is 1 year long with 12 modules, and one of the modules is devoted just to these vital five, so that the parent coach then has another way of perceiving what is happening, what's the dynamic in the family, where is the stress coming from, where are the priorities, how are priorities being set. They're being set by an unconscious drivenness, for instance, to say my child has to have these toys because the peer group is saying these are important toys. And what we're saying, the parent coach can help that parent become a parent again and say no and create the boundaries that children need. The other big, let me just say this other piece, because this is so critical. And when I talk about relevant information that our parent coaches have, they are trained really in the developmental needs of children and in the growing brain. What are the developmental needs at different ages and stages of development? And many parents are unaware of that. So if we can help a parent understand that if they do such and such, it will impact brain development in this way, they may make different choices.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, we have a little girl, 9 years old. She's in the fourth grade. She's reading at an eighth grade level. I mean, this kind of understanding, this is what they need. And, you know, now instead of being in the TV, in front of the TV for hours, she's in her bedroom reading a book for hours. And that's the kind of development that you're talking about is necessary, especially at that age.
And if we were coaching you, I mean, part of your challenge might be to find relevant information for her, relevant books, because a lot of it might not be emotionally appropriate for her right now at that age. Even though she can read it, it doesn't mean you want her to read it.
Well, absolutely. And the certain ready to have those discussions just yet. And unfortunately, sometimes those discussions happen, and we have to react to them in the best way. And I guess having someone to talk to is would be quite a resource as a parent. Now, I don't think we covered the systems notions of things, though. A systems approach.
Okay, well, the systems approach basically looks at that. I don't know if you saw the movie Magnolia. I saw it, and I didn't understand it until my son, who is a film major, told me it's about how people affect one another without understanding how they affect one another. And that we know, now physicists will say, a butterfly in Tokyo will, you know, make an effect on the weather system in San Francisco. And so the systems approach basically is looking at all the different systems that are affecting parents and children. From the school system, for instance, the school system has a lot of problems with it. And one of the problems is...
The school system has a lot of problems with the systems approach, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying the school system, the parents have to understand the impact of the school system on their child. And the propensity to label children early, the testing that goes on, the...
pathologizing.
Exactly. And so much. So that's one system that plays a huge effect on parents and families that isn't being addressed. The media is another system, okay? The family system in and of itself, we talk about different parenting styles and parenting learning styles, for instance, parenting and learning styles, and how your own perceptions can change your learning and your behavior towards your child. And that child's age and stage of development is another system. We're looking at a holistic view of parenting rather than saying, okay, here's an old mechanistic model. If you get this and this skill, then you'll be a good parent. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no. And all of us know as parents, the humbling experience of having so much knowledge and so many skills, and it doesn't work. So the parent coaches are there to ask provocative questions and to tease out, well, why is it working for you? Or maybe you're not looking at what is working. One of the important tenets in coaching is to emphasize the positive and to stay and look at what does work. Because you know this, I'm sure this is part of your paradigm, Paul. Where you place your attention is where growth happens. Wherever what you attend to is what will expand and increase. So where are the parents placing their attention? Where is the children's attention here? And so questions like that within a systems approach. A systems approach to parenting is hard to define. But in 3 months, my new book will be out, and it will
who talks about the evils of advertising. I'm disappointed. Throw that blatant plug in my program because we never do that except on our website at inperia.org. All right, with that said, the vital five is a phrase that you've trademarked, you value so highly. You've created it and trademarked it.
I do because there are so many skills out there, so many needs, so many the kids need so much. If we could distill it very, very succinctly, what would they be? And the vital five are those five developmental needs that if a parent focused just on those five, everything else falls in place.
Tell us about them.
Well, first of all, the first one, this need to be bonded with the parent, okay? We always talk about that, and it's hugely important. There has to be bonding. But what we don't talk about is the other vital need here. Child, the baby must bond in a social network. They have to bond to more than one person. And as radical as that sounds, there are huge reasons for this. Because in a media culture, we're not even seeing, like 67% of families are eating dinner while they're watching television. And the bonding that's taking place in families that have more than one TV and three or four screens in the house of all sorts is less and less. Conversation is going down in the home. So children aren't even getting the bonding with the parents that they need. And that's the minimal. I'm talking about raising children optimally. They need to be bonding. And in extended families as we had 20 years ago or even, you know, some people in some cultures here in our society still have it, but the extended family is dying, and so children are not bonding to individual adults. They aren't getting models from real people. Their models are distant strangers. Their models are people that are on video games, that are in a two-dimensional reality, and you know what? They flicker. Their models flicker with the screen, and real people don't flicker. Real people are going to react to these children and in ways that these distant models can't. So ways we can bring a circle of love around children and create more intimate, real, authentic relationships for children to have in their lives is a real central focus.
It's all part of the first of the five.
That's all part of it. The second part is to bond with the self. The child has to bond with him or herself intrinsically, with all the distractions of raising children today, from the stress and the hurry to keep them involved in so many activities, to their faces and their noses and video games day after day. The children are distracted from their internal landscape. This is a huge tragedy. They cannot develop a healthy self-identity without it. It is one thing that is missing entirely from childhood. When I go around the country and talk with early childhood educators, for instance, the big thing they talk to me about is children don't know how to play anymore. They don't know how to play. They don't know how to come up with ideas inside themselves. They don't know how to sit on a couch and look at the sky out the window and put the clouds together and form, you know, ideas. They don't know how to do it.
The only war that matters is the war against the imagination.
Bonding with themselves, they have that time with their internal landscape, and they can develop it. The imagination is more important than knowledge, as Einstein said. We have all the information in this age, and where is our wisdom? How do we know what to do with it? How do we create visionaries in this culture when all the visions are given to them?
When we don't have an imagination, we can't have compassion for someone else. We don't know. We can't even figure what it might be like. Bullets were to go through their body. And of course, with all this watching of violent video games and the stunting of that portion of the brain that has that compassion, that reasoning, that's being stunted by all the TV watching and video games, and then the lack of imagination to be able to have compassion, that's the kind of recipe we have for potential the slaughters that we're having in the high schools in Colorado and Kentucky and what have you.
Exactly. So much depends on childhood, and as children don't play, then we see in the research, a body of research of 20 years, that there is distinct depression in children as they get older. They get more depressed if they haven't had enough time in their own imaginations. And this leads right into many of the problems we are seeing with our youth, the tripling of suicide with teens since the 1960s. Now, what I think is that this should be shouted from the rooftop, and parents need to understand how critical it is. You see, so many well-intentioned, loving, caring, well-educated parents think it's a frill. They think it's a frill if kids are putting Legos together. I'm saying it's an imperative, and to get parents to understand how this child will develop if they have an imagination, and how this child won't, and many of the problems with emotional and social sickness in our society is stemming from this lack of imagination.
Quickly give us number 4 and 5, and then we have to wrap up our segment.
The fourth is to develop some authenticity around values and a sense of meaningful purpose. And the fifth is to experience oneself as a contributor to others. And in our society, we don't have as many chores around the house, for instance, to do, and children don't have that feeling that they belong to a larger whole and that they are important.
We'll have to pick up the conversation in our next chat. Gloria DiGaetano can be reached in Bellevue at 425-401-1519 or on the website growsmartbrains.com.